Welcome to Spiritually Speaking with Laura Lester Fournier. Sit back, relax, and immerse yourself in the richness of this moment. We have an opportunity right now to deepen our relationship with God and learn more about how to lead a deeply authentic life. You're invited to take a deep breath and connect with your highest self. Peace is available in this moment. And now, here's our host, Laura Lester Fournier.
Glad that you're here. I'm so glad that I'm here. I'm your host, Laura Lester Fournier, and this is the debut of my new show. I'm thrilled to be here with you. I have a fantastic guest today, Alicia Isaac. I can't wait to bring her on. If you're tuning in for the first time, this show is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Our show is live with our affiliate, 1510 AM, Revolution Boston in beautiful Marina Bay. The show is also aired with internet affiliate Spirit Quest Radio. And for a full schedule, please go to dreamvision7radio.com. And if you're interested in checking out my website, please go to www.lauralesterfournier.com. And there you will find my book, CDs, and also be able to sign up for my daily inspirational message. So I'd love to bring Alicia on, but first I want to share just a little bit about her and the wonderful work she's up to. So Alicia Isaac is the founder of Changing Inside Out Now, is a life-changing inspirational writer, life coach, and author of Changing Inside Out Now, The Power of Unconditional Love, Changing Inside Out Now, Creating Unconditional Miracles, and her latest material, Overcome Inferiority Complex, 5+ Steps to Overcome Inferiority Complex and Build Self-Confidence. She shares powerful, practical, life-changing, step-by-step tips and strategies with the readers so they can be empowered from within, connect to the source of their power, and quickly change their lives inside out now, regardless of their external conditions. They can live the life they truly deserve. So we're going to talk with Alicia today about self-confidence, self-esteem, and being motivated. We've got a new year coming up in about a month. So Alicia, are you there?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm so glad that you're on. It's wonderful to have you here.
I'm really excited. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So tell us about the basics of an inferiority complex and what are some of the thoughts and emotions of a person experiencing such a complex? Because I know I've experienced it.
Yeah. Well, inferiority complex really is a feeling of inferior to others. And it can really affect one's self-esteem and one's confidence. And what happens is that it comes about usually as a result of you comparing yourself to someone, comparing you, you know, to themselves, and you're taking that as part of your internal belief, or you're right. being compared to a particular standard of behavior or lifestyle. So that can really take
that.
Sorry, go ahead.
And we all do that, don't we? I mean, there isn't a person
exactly.
on the planet who doesn't do that, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? We have different levels of it. Some can really go to the extreme where it really inhibits their entire life, and then we have others that's just on different levels. So we have the extreme, as in everything, you have the lower level, and then you have the real extreme, okay?
Sure.
So most of us sometimes can cope with that, but others have a really difficult time to really move on to do anything in their life, right?
Right.
So this can really take the form of one's level of education compared to another, one's height, your weight, status, if you're short or you're tall, dark skin or light skin, have a long nose, short nose, and you know what, the list can go on and on, you name it.
Sure.
You know, so that's what inferiority complex really, in a nutshell, that's what it's all about.
Right. And so
yeah.
This, I'm sure that you talk with people every day who are struggling with this and trying mm-hmm. To make sense of it and get beyond it, because when you have good self-esteem and when you believe in yourself and your abilities, mm-hmm. you have limitless potential.
That's right. That's right. And as you said, accomplished people who are struggling with it, because you know what, you may be accomplished in one area, but sometimes that accomplishment could be driven by your lack of confidence. In other words, you have to prove yourself then. I'm going to be,
right.
That's what's the motivator to make you be better than everybody else. We're on the competitive plane because now you have to prove yourself. So it's always struggling to prove yourself as opposed to just living life and being who you are. Okay.
And where do you think the core of this very common complex comes from? Childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. It starts from the childhood, from the parenting, family members, friends, society, because, you know, you have to, if you're not dressed a certain way, you know, maybe in school, you're not dressed a certain way, you're not measuring up to the status quo. So that leaves you feeling like out of the group. And mm-hmm. you may end up being like a loner because your peers then are all grouped off and you're by yourself because you're not measuring up. And that could be imposed upon you when you're left to feel, you know, that you're not good enough to be a part of the gang, right, so to speak. And also that could also happen within the family as well. You know, if the parent is favoring one and not the other, that can leave a child feeling somewhat, you know, I'm not good enough. So they're always trying to measure up to the older brother or the sister that may be better at sports or piano or whatever. So it really starts. Sorry, go ahead.
You must be very good at this, since I happen to know you are the mother of seven children. Are you not?
Yes, and actually one on the way. So number eight is on the way.
Oh my goodness! So you would be very good at what you're talking about in terms of making each child feel so special. I'm sure that you're a fantastic mother. Congratulations on your baby on the way.
So thank you very much.
How can we help our listeners? I'm sure that each and every one of us is sitting here listening to this and thinking, all right, I mean, let's dig deep. This, since we're talking about this, and by the way, let me give the call-in number, which is 617-237-1234. It's 617-237-1234. And if you have a question for Alicia or myself, let's just dig in and really talk about this, because I think that it's really a place where we can all become quite stuck and not experience the kind of success that we want to have in our lives. I always feel like, and I always tell my daughter, if you can walk into a room and say, hi, and just be confident and introduce yourself to people and know that you have a purpose and you have a reason for being, and you're a child of God after all. You are as important as anyone else. Then you can do anything. So what can our listeners do? What can they do to help themselves overcome? What can we all do?
Well, first of all, in order to make any change in your life, you have to make a decision. And that's it right there. The biggest part is making a decision, and I usually refer to as a focused, determined decision. Not just saying, well, I decide that and that's it. But you want to make a focused, determined decision that you are going to change your life. You're going to get the help that you need to change your life. And that decision is just not made today and that's it. You make that on a daily basis. You reaffirm your decision on a daily basis to keep you moving forward and keep you motivated when things get tough or when that old way of going back into that negative thinking habit about yourself begin to grip at you, then you have to reaffirm that decision. So, and then after you made that decision, the next step then is going to where change begins. And where does that begin? You see, what happens is that we're all trying to change our lives by changing our results. Our change starts from within us. What's going on inside of you? How are you thinking about your life? How are you thinking about yourself? Yes, all of that happened in your past. You know, you were left out of the gang when you were a kid, and as your parents didn't, you didn't measure up to your brother or sister. But now that you're older, you can take your life into your hand consciously. And you have choices now to make that decision to not feel left out of the gang. So, okay, you may not be a part of the gang. So what? You're a part of humanity, and that's gang enough for anybody.
That's right.
You know? So, and you are here for a purpose. Yes, there may be millions of people on the earth, but guess what? You are just as valuable as anybody on the earth. And that's where the thinking has to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a group may not accept you, but you can accept yourself, because some of the emotions that we go through on a level of inferiority complex is feeling that I have to have the approval of others. I'm not good enough. And all of that thinking now has to change from within. You have to go into that internal programming within, which we call the subconscious, which we'll go into a little bit later on. And we change and change that internal programming so we can start seeing results in our lives. Because if for instance, you have, like, you want an apple tree and you're growing oranges, you're never going to get apples by just cutting down the orange tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, you have to go to the root and uproot the orange tree and then plant apple seeds to get something different. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to change maybe the people the way we're doing things outwardly, but we're still thinking the same way inside. And that's why we keep getting the same results all the time.
Yeah, I refer to that as energy habits. You know, we have these energy habits, these ways of thinking and being that we are just, we're habitual. And we get stuck in these patterns. And we really need reminders, don't you think? We need to surround ourselves with daily reminders of what our intention is in order to shift those patterns, in order to shift those energy habits and stop playing those old tapes.
And that's really, the old tape is really the self-talk. What are you saying to yourself constantly over and over? Or what are you affirming to yourself? Or you might remember something someone said to you or a parent said to you when you were a child, or you never amount to anything. And that record is being played over and over. And then even though the actual event has stopped from a child, it continues to, you pick it up from there then and continue it feeling and accepting that as your belief. So that's where you've got to go back to the root of it and listen to that tape and then change the recording, record something new. And it's really a repetition. It's, you have to do that every day, because that's how we got programming you in the first place, by repetition, right? This is a daily thing that's been happening. You accepted that as a belief. You joined in and said, whether consciously or not, you joined in and said, yeah, well, that's who I am, and maybe I'm not good enough. And you take that all through your life into your adulthood, and it's showing evidence then, the fruit of inferiority complex.
And we lead such busy lives, you know, and I think that it's very common for people to just struggle and struggle and struggle with something like this, and when in fact the very thing that could help them is quiet contemplation and making sure that we take some time each day to really look deeply at what is the core of this, what is the root of this, what caused me to begin to feel this way in the first place. And so it's really important to take that time. To dig deep.
That's right. Yeah, and, you know, as you said, looking at self-contemplation, how many people have been taught to do that, to sit down and really look within yourself? And our time, that silent time, in self-contemplation is so important. It is like that's life itself. Without that, you find that you're going about, you're disconnecting yourself from the source. So, you know, if you were to live a life just thinking your life is all just about your body, and you're not connecting. People will think, well, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with God or spirituality or anything like that. Well, to deny God is to deny yourself. Is to deny God is to deny who you are, to deny where you came from, that you just can't. It's like denying your parent. Yes,
right.
You may deny, but the fact still says that these are your parents. You can't change that. And if you, and even if you want to establish that relationship, that harmonious relationship with a parent. So it's the same thing with God. You want to establish that harmonious relationship with God in the silence and at a quiet time, because that's how you find who you are. That's how you're empowered from within. That's how you find your strength, to disconnect from that source. And we're not talking about religion and all of that. We're talking about connecting to the source of your power, the source of your strength, the source of your life and life itself. And without that, that's why you feel disconnected. That's why you're experiencing all these things, because you're looking outward to everyone else and things and all of the things to satisfy a craving that's within. But when you find your place in that inner sanctuary within you, and not God somewhere in the clouds, but as I would say, bring God home. And where is home? Within you, in your heart, in your soul. When you turn your eyes, your mind, your thoughts inwardly, to that place, that inner sanctuary, that connection, you become empowered, and it's you getting your feelings involved too, and connecting with that power source. You find that your power starts to grow from within, and this is a daily thing, just like eating. You eat because you're hungry. You need to feed your body. Well, you need to feed your spirit as well. That's where your true power comes from, to help you to rise up above inferiority complex.
Absolutely, I think that it's critical. It's critical. You taking time each day and taking time throughout the day, you know.
Yes, that's right.
Not just in the morning or in the evening, but throughout the day, and taking even just a moment, 1 minute, 60 seconds of breathing in and out and connecting with the divine. And when you connect with the divine, you connect with your true self. And your true self is connected to divinity. So when you're there, there's no way you can feel inferior.
That's right, because you're connected to all power. You're connected to omnipotence. You're connected to wisdom. Anything you need, you go back to the source. You connect with the source. I shouldn't say go back, but connect inside, consciously in your mind. If someone's asking, well, what do you mean by connect? Meaning becoming consciously aware of your oneness with God, that the life flow comes from the source and is flowing in you. And as you're connecting inside, you consciously becoming one. I am drawing wisdom for what I need now. I am bold. I am confident because I'm drawing that boldness and confidence from the universal source. And that's how you live your life. It's a lifestyle, not just a one thing and you hang it up.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a very quick break. Alicia, please hold on, and we will be back with our wonderful guest in just a moment after taking a quick sponsor break.
Are you searching for inspiration? Perhaps you need to heal the past in order to move forward. Laura's latest book, The Caterpillar's Flight, A Story of Transformation, could be the message you've been waiting for. Laura speaks from her experience of healing from abuse and ultimately finding true love and a daily grace that she turns to again and again. Segments of The Caterpillar's Flight are also available in audio format. It can be very beneficial to listen to Laura's inspiring messages during your daily errands or commute in an effort to assist you in maintaining balance and ease throughout your endeavors. Laura's CDs on peace, forgiveness, true love, and the energy of grace in her Speaking Of CD series, in addition to her latest book, The Caterpillar's Flight, are available through her website. Today is the day to make a change within, heal your past, and embrace your bright future. Go to lauralesterfournier.com today and get inspired.
And we're back. I'd like to invite our listeners to please visit Alicia's website at www.changinginsideoutnow.com. That's changinginsideoutnow.com. And please feel free to call in at 617-237-1234. Can you tell us, Alicia, what is your personal experience with this, and how did you overcome it?
Well, when I first, actually what happened with me, I first recognized it when I was writing my first book. And when I started writing that book, as I was going along, I found that I find these thoughts coming into my head is like, how are you going to measure up to those experts in your field? Like, you don't have a degree, so how could you be writing to an audience? So that was the thing that I had to deal with. And at that time, I felt really small, which led to thoughts of not being good enough. And even though I had taken a writing course, like, you know, I find these thoughts of coming to me and comparing my level of expertise to others. So that led me to feeling depressed and really frustrated, because it's like I'm wanting to go forward with my dream and desire of writing a book and share my experiences, but how am I going to measure up? So I basically had to come face to face with the truth, what was happening inside of me, and deal right. with it instead of, you know, just brushing it off and allowing it to hold me back from finishing this, right?
Yeah.
And so looking then, I had to look in. I felt that the voice of truth speaking inside of me and saying, you know what, even though you may not have a degree, you have something to offer. You have something that you can share that other people could really benefit from, and it can really change. So, you know, just go ahead, press forward, keep going through and pressing through. And, you know, with the encouragement of my family and everything, that gave me the strength that I needed and the encouragement that I needed to really press through and complete the book. And it felt so good. I felt really accomplished that I had broken through those barriers. But also what happened is that it made me look at other things in my life too, areas that I struggled with weight and different aspects of my life. And I started applying the same steps to really looking at myself, and instead of looking at what I didn't have, start looking at what I already had and what I can do with what I have, and use those as seeds to really build my life and become stronger. And that's what I did really to overcome that inferiority complex. So whenever I feel myself wanted to go that direction, I do the mind shifting thing from looking at my weaknesses and my limitations to looking at my strengths. And it's amazing when you do that, that the help that you need, even if there are things that you don't know, the help that you need comes to you and gives you that boost to really to fill the gap then of what's lacking in your life.
Absolutely. So what would, if you had, I don't know, three top tips for a person who's wanting to change their life, perhaps they feel they are at a crossroads, perhaps they feel they are at rock bottom, perhaps they feel as though they don't know what direction to go in, and they feel so stuck. What are maybe three of your top suggestions of how a person would go about changing their life and changing their energy habits?
Okay, so what do you want to do then? You want to take stock of your life. You want to take stock of who you are and what you want to do. You want to sit, as we said earlier, in self-contemplation. This is where you really sit down with pen and paper and look within to yourself. What it is I feel like I want to do with my life? Because when you start painting that picture of where you want to go, looking at your strengths, looking at your weaknesses, and really analyze, coming face to face with you. Because the more you brush that away, the more your life becomes muddled. But when you really take that time out, first of all, to take stock of who you are and what you want out of life and write those things down, you know, doing a self-analysis, that would be the first step I would say to take. And apart from making that decision, and when you get to that point, you've already made that decision that, hey, I got to do something. And this is what you would start with. Start taking stock of your life, looking at your strengths, looking at your weaknesses. And from there, you would start to shift your mindset. Begin to think about not looking at yourself as being a failure, but that you can do this. Even if it's one step at a time, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, and even if you don't know how to, one of the tricks I usually share with my readers is that begin to say to yourself, you know what, I mean, I know the answer. Even if you don't consciously know it, begin
right.
to say that. Even in that thought and that mindset of saying, I know the answer, opens the door for the answer to come to you.
That's an act of confidence, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Because you're already taking the step. And you know what, a lot of times I do that and I have no idea really in my head what I'm going to do or how I'm going
right.
to go about it. But by just saying that, you're opening the door for that answer to come to you, and you'll see it show up in your email box, a friend brings it, someone gets up and do it, because thoughts move. Thoughts are not bound by or physical barriers. Thoughts
right.
is energy,
right.
and it moves on a spiritual plane. So that information goes out and comes back to you when you set the pace for it to come.
Yeah.
Now, the other part someone would want to do, number three, would be to acknowledge their weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not using your weaknesses, acknowledging them, as a way to beat up on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you're acknowledging your weaknesses so in a way so you can look at them and then look for ways to strengthen them. And, you know, the thing is, sometimes being inferior, feeling that inferiority complex, you may be looking at a part of your life and thinking that that's a weakness. And to someone else, that's a great strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might be a person who's, you know, really caring and loving other people, and you might think that that's a weakness, and someone said, oh, my God, that is so, you have such great strength to be able to care for people that way. And you might be beating up on yourself and say, you know, I'm such a sucker.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that is your strength because that's the nurturing part of you. So it's looking at areas that you might think that are weaknesses and shifting your perspective and see them as strengths through a different viewpoint. And then those that are truly weaknesses, you can actually start working on them to look for ways to actually enhance them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, for instance, you might have a weakness of being bad in math or, you know, and you may not be able to calculate things like as fast as other people can, then you can go find yourself the help that you need instead of feeling really bad because I'm really suck at math and I feel so bad about it because
right.
I'm not good as somebody else. You can do something to enhance that. So, you know, so it's a matter of perspective.
Yes. Yeah. Those are powerful tips. And I think if any one of us were to take just a few minutes each day just doing those three things, we would just rise exponentially in our ability to succeed in whatever we're pursuing. What I know that you talk about the conscious and the subconscious mind, and it's so important to understand those. Before we take another break in a few minutes, can you talk a little about that?
Yeah. Well, I like to use a very practical analogy to explain the conscious and the subconscious mind because it's very intangible, so you can't see it to really identify it. So I use the garden example. So your conscious mind is like the gardener. You are the gardener of your life. And in this garden that you're growing, you make the decision as to what seeds are planted in your garden, what grows in there or not, right? You go in and you think, well, I like cucumbers, I like pumpkins, but I don't like strawberries, okay? So that's what the subconscious mind, the conscious mind, sorry, does.
Strawberries? Can we pick radishes?
Sorry?
Radishes. Let's pick radishes, because really, who doesn't like strawberries?
Yeah, well, yes. Okay, let's pick radishes, or even spinach.
Okay.
Okay, and you would say, okay, I don't like spinaches, so we'll have cucumbers, and we'll have leave out the space. So you're making that decision in your life that this is what you want to grow in your garden, and then you decide where it's going to be grown. Now, the subconscious mind is likened to the soil. The soil does not discriminate whatever you want to plant in there. It doesn't say, well, I'll have cucumbers, but today you cannot plant pumpkins because I don't like pumpkins in my soil. No,
Right. Everything.
So it's the same thing with the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind takes everything that you decide as your belief, and it grows it. It causes to come to manifest in your life. So when you think of your life then, you decide then what thoughts you want to entertain in your life, because those thoughts, thought seeds, are going to start to grow as you feed them with your emotions and you keep thinking about them. They are going to grow in the soil of your subconscious mind. And that's what the subconscious mind is, your internal programming. Those things that are inside of you that you do automatically, just like you learning to drive a car. Without your subconscious mind, every day you imagine having to get up and when you're going to jump in your car, you have to learn to do that all over again.
Right.
That would be like horror.
Yeah. Thank goodness for the subconscious mind, really.
That's right. And that comes in by our programming and repetition. Every day you keep repeating that until it becomes a habit. So you can just jump in your car at any time and just drive. You do it so automatically. Sometimes you do things without even having, and you think, oh, did I do that? Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, my God. You know.
Alicia, we have a caller on the line. We have Marianne Durham, who has a question. Can we take her call?
Sure.
Marianne, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, this is Marianne.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I've been enjoying it.
What's on your mind?
Well, one of my questions was, how can you help your child with self-esteem issues? I know you were just talking about math while I was holding, and like I have a child that he just stinks at math, and then his whole self-esteem plummets, and he starts hating all of school instead of just math, and also how to help a child with self-esteem with, you know, peer pressure and things like that.
Well, one of the things you would have to start with is teaching that child who that child is, so that child could identify himself with not being a part of the friends, but see himself as being great. Okay, if you start teaching your child and putting that within his mind and giving him the tools of the self-talk, I am strong in myself. I am beautiful. I am great. I am confident. These are the things that he needs to start saying to himself.
How old is your child, Marianne? I'm sorry.
Oh, he's a teen. He's 14.
He's a teenager. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's going through that stage right now of all the changes that's going on within him, and he wants to be accepted by his friends, and he may want to be identified with his peers. But if you start teaching him who he is, and that's really key, and this is one of the things I do with my children, is like, yet even with my family as it is, a large family, they have their little squabbles as well with among themselves. But you teach them how to identify, this is my strength. And that support really comes mostly at home when you instill that and you keep encouraging him. And I understand what you're saying about math, because I've been there too. I really sucked at math in school.
Yeah, so did I.
You know, I really couldn't get it. It's only later in life and as an adult when I started teaching my kids, I found simplified ways to really help me with math. So I'm much better now. But
yeah.
I really sucked at it. I just couldn't get it. And I had a personal tutor too. So
Alicia and Marianne, let's hold on the line for a moment while we take another break. But when we come back, perhaps you'd have some suggestions specifically on how to teach a teenage boy, for instance, how to add more self-confidence. So we'll be back in just a moment after our break.
Are you searching for inspiration? Perhaps you need to heal the past in order to move forward. Laura's latest book, The Caterpillar's Flight, A Story of Transformation, could be the message you've been waiting for. Laura speaks from her experience of healing from abuse and ultimately finding true love and a daily grace that she turns to again and again. Segments of The Caterpillar's Flight are also available in audio format. It can be very beneficial to listen to Laura's inspiring messages during your daily errands or commute in an effort to assist you in maintaining balance and ease throughout your endeavors. Laura's CDs on peace, forgiveness, true love, and the energy of grace in her Speaking Of CD series, in addition to her latest book, The Caterpillar's Flight, are available through her website. Today is the day to make a change within, heal your past, and embrace your bright future. Go to lauralesterfournier.com today and get inspired.
In the minutes that we have left, I think Marianne is still on the line. Alicia, did you have, I think it's just a really good question, because I know a lot of parents struggle with how to empower their teenagers. So did you have just a couple of tips you could give Marianne on how to empower her teenager to embrace his strengths?
Yes. So what you want to first of all encourage your child to do is to learn to be himself. Because if he's trying to please his friends or the group he wants to fit in with, He'll always be forever trying to measure up to the group or to measure up to that standard, and he'll find himself being unhappy. Because what happens is that the more you try to please someone else, you find that the bar gets moved. They may change, and what you thought they once approved of at one point, they've decided that that's not approving anymore. So you're constantly having to change who you are to fit in with the group. So the first thing, what are the things he likes? What are the things he enjoys doing? And going more into those things, into his likes and who he is. And the funny thing about life is when you'd find that as he starts doing that, he'll begin to attract other people to himself as well. It just causes that way to open up, where people who enjoy the same thing as he does will come along as well. But he has to be able to start accepting himself for who he is and be confident in that. And that's where you can encourage him to, say, you know what, you enjoy doing this or playing basketball or whatever sport it is, or, playing video games, whatever his passion is. And that's okay. Other people may not like that, but that's okay. That's who you are. So you want to encourage him in who he is, the thing that he enjoys, and not try to change him to fit in. So that would be the big thing. Because when he feels comfortable in himself, then it doesn't matter what the group does. He'd be like, well, okay, they don't like me, so I'll just move on and continue with my life. I know who I am. And that's one of the building blocks that you want to start with. Stop trying to fit in with the group. It's good to fit in, but you know what? He can say, yeah, I may not fit in, but that's okay. I'm good. I'm good to go. And in terms of the math issue, you can start with the basics. Like, you may want to either, number one, get him a tutor, someone who can really simplify things for him. Or if you have the time, you can do it yourself, which is find out where he's having issues. Because I found even with myself, I couldn't see what the other students in the class were seeing. Like, they would, rattling off answers to the teacher, and I sat there totally confused. And when I went back to the basics of adding, subtracting, and understanding, and being able to see those numbers in my head, and that's a biggie. If you can't see the numbers in your head, you can't visualize it to add and subtract and to multiply, divide, then it's harder when you go to things like percentages and you start doing harder math, you can't see that. You're kind of lost along the way. So if you can take him back to the basics and then start filling in the gaps, because once you miss the foundation, you miss everything. The whole roof collapses. Right. And find fun ways to make math enjoyable for him. Like, if it's you might want to create a game out of it so he can enjoy that. Sometimes what we do with our kids, like we have them with money and we create a situation of they going to the grocery store. Even sometimes my husband will have the grocery bill and have them calculate that and walk them through the steps of, you know, so handling money so they understand. And at times, too, you can physically take him to the grocery store and have him be the one to get actively involved. See where he's at, because I don't know your personal situation. Mm-hmm. But wherever he is at, find the basics and of that and take him up back to the next level, because he missed something in between there.
Those are great suggestions, Alicia. I hope that helps, Marianne. And thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you for taking my questions.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
For great suggestions. And we are nearing the end of our show, and I just wanted to give you the opportunity again. I want to remind our listeners to go to www.changinginsideoutnow.com and check out all of Alicia Isaac's great work. You can subscribe to her daily messages, which are wonderful. In closing, Alicia, what else would you like our listeners to know?
Okay, well, what's important in changing one's life is a formula that I have, what I call formula for success. And then in whether it's inferiority complex or anything else that you're working on. And the formula is R equals IOT, which is repetition equal imprint over time. I'll repeat that again. It's R equals IOT, which is R for repetition equals imprint over time. And in everything that you do, it's a repetition. You're repeating it. And by constantly repeating that action over and over, it begins to leave that imprint in your mind and that imprint in your subconscious. And as a result, it begins to imprint in your entire life, in your outward results. And how I came about that, one day I usually go out and take my daily walk, and I was walking in the backyard. I found that I started leaving a trail on the grass, and my husband said, "You've got to change that trail because you're leaving a path on the lawn." So right at that moment, I heard imprint over time. It shows what I've been doing over and over every day, taking the same path, and it was like, "That's it." Repetition,
it
leaves that imprint over time. And as you keep doing it over and over, your self-talk, your positive self-talk over and over, I am bold, I am confident, I love me, I love who I am. You know, I can continue to do that. And as you continue to do that, it begins to affect all of your cells in your body responds, because you can start feeling that boldness and confidence coming inside of you. You feel that you know what, I can really do this.
Absolutely.
Even at first,
Alicia,
when you first...
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Those wonderful suggestions, and I'm afraid we're out of time, but I tell you, it's been fantastic to have you on, and I think we could talk for another hour about this because it's so universal. So thank you again. God bless you, and please, everyone, check out Alicia's website and her wonderful work, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast. Thank you so
much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So I want to thank you for joining me tonight. Please tune in again on the second Saturday of each month at 6 p.m. Eastern. And until we meet again, may you be filled with radiant peace. May you forgive and be forgiven. May you find the power of unconditional love to guide you. And may the energy of grace be always present in your heart. God bless you. And goodbye for now.